back to the KODY studio for more Mugs in the Morning with Tristan Winder, only on KODY 1240 AM, 106.1 FM.
And welcome back to Mugs in the Morning here on Husker Radio's KODY, 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. As always, Mugs in the Morning presented to you by Shelter Insurance agents Pete Foltz, Brent Rogo, and Bo Witt. Community strong all day long. We continue our full lineup this morning on Mugs in the Morning. We have Chuck Burr joining us here from the Extension office. Chuck, good to see you in the studio. How's it been going, sir?
It's been going really good. The weather is finally warming up, and I think spring is here.
Yeah, busy spring season for you. Year in, year out, we talk about one of your babies out of the Extension, that being the TAPS program, something that you're excited to do once again this year.
Yeah, this is our fifth year doing a TAPS competition here in North Platte, and again, we've got three competitions, pivot irrigated corn competition, subsurface drip irrigated corn competition, and a grain sorghum competition, all here in North Platte.
Awesome, awesome. Unique opportunity for a little friendly competition with more than just bragging rights on the line, too.
Yeah, actually, there's prize money involved in it. The most profitable farm gets a check for $2,000. The most efficient farm gets a check for $1,000. And we do give a highest yield, and that's a base of $500.
And we were talking off the air, there is a difference between profitability and efficiency.
Yeah, you can be very, very efficient and not profitable. Conversely, you can also be very profitable and not efficient. So that's what, just what we're trying to demonstrate, I guess, with the competition. We've actually had one individual a year ago that was the most profitable, most efficient, and they had the highest yield. So
wow.
They triple crown winner, yeah, in our subsurface drip competition.
Nice payday.
Yeah, that was Josh Becker and the big... Big Cobb Ben Busters was their team name. So
awesome.
That's really exciting for us to see. Really like to see, you know, they have a high yield. They did it very efficiently, and, of course, all of that leads to profitability.
Unique opportunity, George. As somebody that has a rich history in agriculture like yourself, this is something that kind of speaks highly to the area and to the Extension as well.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be entering. I don't think my flower bed's gonna
wouldn't qualify.
Meet the criterion, yeah.
Maybe fit one corn plant in there.
But subsurface drip, that's an interesting, you know, I don't hear much about that. So.
Yeah, that's a fairly new technology to this area. Of course, you get into Arizona and some of the really dry states where they've been really struggling to have any irrigation water. Subsurface drip is very, very efficient. The issue is it's kind of pricey to put in. You have to bury these drip lines underground and then connect them. And very efficient because we're not watering the plants. We're not watering the soil surface. We're applying all that water underground. So you really kind of eliminate evaporation.
So a bit of a way to combat some drought conditions then for our producers?
Yeah, you know, it's just another method to apply that irrigation water. Of course, last year we were really, really dry. Some of our participants put 16, 17 inches of water on their plots, which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, with the dry year, we really needed the extra irrigation.
Don't have much of a choice, unfortunately.
That's right, and you wouldn't think it, but if you're in an irrigated situation, when we have a drought, we typically get really good yields because there's plenty of sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the driving force for transpiration, which is water moving through the plant, which contributes to yield. So, yeah, when we get those really hot, dry summers, if you've got the water, you can expect pretty good yields.
Now, Chuck, we know it's
the teams. Let me interrupt your.
Oh, no, go ahead, George.
The teams. You're talking about a team effort. It's not just one farm, then, apparently.
Yeah, like in the pivot corn competition, we've got 27 different farms, if you will. Some of those are managed by individuals. Some of them might be a team of individuals. We've had a Grant County group the last several years, or Perkins County group from Grant, and they've had up to 10 individuals on their team. So they have a lot of time bantering back and forth, you know, what decision should we make, what hybrid, what seeding rate, should we sell grain or not. So they told us that they've learned a lot just working within their group as they have actually competing in the competition.
Sure. Awesome.
Yeah, and this covers the farming, the production techniques, plus the marketing.
Yeah, it really does. And, of course, marketing's been really hot the last couple of days. I think we've added close to a dollar on corn prices in the last day. Mm-hmm. Soybean prices very good as well. So that really gets their interest, marketing, and it really gives our producers an opportunity to market without risk. You know,
sure.
They're not selling their own grain on their farm. They're selling their TAPS grain.
It's a simulation.
It's a simulation, which allows them to, again, try something new, try something different. If it doesn't work out, who cares? You know, they don't lose the farm.
The producer's nose.
Yeah, maybe they're not the most profitable farm. They don't get the $2,000 check, but, hey, they're not down $100,000 on their own farming operation.
Yeah, they're not filing for bankruptcy.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it really gives them that opportunity to try new things, maybe cut back on water, sure, cut back on nitrogen, maybe reduce the seeding rate. And, again, the marketing has been huge.
Now, Chuck, we know a lot of producers out there doing a little planting with corn and soybeans, especially throughout the area. Let's talk about what we can do as the average American and staying safe and helping our producers remain safe as they're out there planting also.
Yeah, so for us that aren't driving the tractors out there and planting, we just need to be aware of what's going on. Of course, we had snow last week, right?
Yeah.
So we're a little behind in getting started planting. That means our producers are going to be going almost 24/7. You know, they put in a lot of hours, sunrise to sunset, some maybe even working after dark. A lot of the equipment nowadays is pretty large, so it's pretty tough to move down the road, and they don't travel as fast as a car or a pickup. So we have to be really aware of what's ahead of us, what's coming up. You know, if there's a tractor and a planter in front of us, slow down well before you get there and realize that they might be turning off. You know, mm-hmm. Don't try to pass at an intersection or even on a field road. Just be very aware that they might be turning in front of you if you try to pass them. So if you do pass, go slow around them, take your time, get around them, and then you can pick up speed and get to where you're going. But just being aware of what's going on, and our tractors don't move near as fast as our vehicles we drive.
Chief Hudson with the police department always says to give yourself plenty of time. Don't get in a rush, and I think that's key when working around the machinery, rather you're trying to get around it on the road, or rather you're doing a little bit of work out in the field.
Yeah, so not only do we have tractors on the roads, a lot of road construction starting up again.
Mm-hmm. It is the season.
It is the season again. Yeah, here, ready or not, here it is. So, yeah, just be aware of what's going on around. Don't be pushing it. And, again, be aware of where you're going and what's coming up.
And enjoy the scenery while you're out and about, too, George. Beautiful time of the year like we've been talking about this morning. And watch some individuals working out in the field, getting some planting.
Yeah,
and
watch everything coming to life again. And see people out there exercising our stewardship of Mother Nature. It's an exciting time. But it's time to be courteous. And, you know, farming is a tremendous asset to Nebraska and a big part of our way of life out here. And a big part of our economy in all kinds of facets. So It's good to take a few minutes, give them a little extra space, and kind of just pay your respects.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Give them a nice wave.
They're just out there doing their jobs.
So. Yeah. Yep. They don't want to be out there necessarily all the time either. They wish they'd go a little bit faster sometimes to get home, get to work. But
well, you know, we got rain in the forecast tonight again and tomorrow, and I'm sure they're trying to push it, get as many acres planted today before, you know, the potential for rain moving in.
It's just a wonderful time of the year, too. You're getting some planting in, have some brandings going on, too. So it's just kind of a wonderful spring tradition here in agriculture in the state.
Yeah, a lot of wildlife now. You know, the deer will be having fawns. I saw some baby geese last night when I was taking a walk.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, they're up and going already. So, yeah, just a lot of activity in the wildlife area. So, that you know, watch out for deer across the highway, turkeys or whatever.
Absolutely. Chuck, anything else you'd like to add this morning, sir?
Just want everybody to stay healthy and be safe.
Absolutely. More coming up on Mugs of the Morning with George Lobby. We're going to talk a little music on the bricks next on KODY.